Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. All right, that's more like it. Thank you. My name is Johanna Turner. I'm an assistant professor at the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding. I also teach in the Department of Applied Social Sciences.
My name is Julian Turner. I am completing a master's degree in interdisciplinary studies with a primary focus on counseling and concentration in trauma awareness and ministry and justice.
Julian and I had the special opportunity to serve in ministry together this past summer, directing the Global Urban Trek to North Africa, a program of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. InterVarsity is a Christian ministry on many different college campuses.
The Global Urban Trek is a six-week Christian program. Students live in a severely under-resourced community outside of the United States in order to discern whether or not they might be called to serve in a similar kind of community for a more extended amount of time after college. Our program was based in Cairo, Egypt, and specifically in a Coptic Christian community where most of the residents make their money by collecting and recycling trash that they collect from the streets of Cairo.
Five EMU students travel with us: Oksana Cottrell, Brittany Williams, Devontae Dews, Noah Haglund, and Rachel Stern. In addition, three others from EMU served as on our program staff: Jolie Payton, who graduated last year, Matthew Nice, a seminary and counseling graduate student, and Shirley Stewart Jones, a recent graduate of the Master's in Counseling program. We were also joined by 10 students from other college campuses.
While in Cairo, students volunteered at a local hospital, a center for children with disabilities, a daycare run by a Catholic charity, and a community education center for unschooled children, as well as a women's recycling association. We also worked together as students and staff to develop a curriculum to design and teach English classes to children, teenagers, and adults in the community. In addition, we experienced a lot of Egyptian hospitality and did our best, though we probably failed in comparison, but did our best to extend hospitality on par with what they were sharing with us.
It was a tall task. We received such great hospitality. Our team also participated in Bible study, on community development. We studied the book of Nehemiah together throughout the summer. We practiced spiritual disciplines, including a weekly retreat of silence. We did some sightseeing on the weekends, and we spent time trying to figure out how to live together as 22 people in one apartment, which you will hear more about later.
I still get I don't know. God. 22 people in one apartment is PTSD inducing, I guess. But both before and after our time in Egypt, the team, there were three different treks that were stationed in multiple cities. So before and after the trek, we spent a week in Bangkok, Thailand, doing the preceding week, doing trainings and preparing. And then the following week after we came back, we spent a week debriefing our experiences so we could prepare to return to our families, to our college campuses, to our communities. Because being somewhere for 6 weeks just with 22 people alone is enough to require some debrief.
And now we turn to our panel of five phenomenal students who will share reflections about their experience covering five different topics: travel, culture, community, service, and overall impact, life after Cairo. Our first topic is travel. Brittany?
Okay, so to start off, all of us had met in Dulles, the five students, to travel with two other students from other universities from Dulles, and our first flight was to Beijing. So we all got to Dulles, and we were all excited and super happy to go through security, etc., and just have a quick, get on a plane, all that fun stuff. Turns out there was a thunderstorm, and our flight got delayed 8-ish hours. So we're stuck in Dulles Airport for 8 hours by ourselves, and we're okay, this is the beginning of our trip. The first time we're all together, our first experience together. And so After we finally got through that 8-hour delay, we had a 12-hour flight to Beijing. And when we got to Beijing, it was 1 o'clock in the morning there. No one was in the airport. No one spoke English. And the airport was so hot and stuffy. And so we're all like, oh my goodness, like, what do we do now? So after running around the airport for like a couple hours, trying to figure out like how to get our tickets and calling our directors and just like stressing out, we finally got our tickets for a flight 13 hours later. So we're in our airport. We've already spent 48 hours in airports or on a plane, which is very exciting. But amongst that, we definitely found a lot of hope, and I think it really brought all of us closer together, just traveling, not even having experience with the actual trek, but just traveling, learning each other's personalities, strengths and weaknesses. I think at one point in the airport, someone had got a message with a devotional, and it like hit home. So all of us were like sitting there, and she was like, all right, I have to share this. And like all of us were like, whoa, like God just spoke to us, which was an exciting message.
That was the only email that went through. No internet service. So like I was like, God, you're telling me something.
Sorry, you guys heard me. If you didn't hear me, that was the only email or internet I could get. So it really spoke to us.
Just from the other side, as directors and staff, we were already in Bangkok. All the other trek teams were in place. Half of our team was there. These five weren't, so it was like I flipped into like parent mode. Like, where are my babies? Like, oh Lord, can I fly a plane to wherever they're at and pick them up? You know, but it was, as it was galvanizing for them, it was also galvanizing for us as directors and staff, that they were no longer just names and faces that had been accepted into a program, but they were people that we cared very deeply about and really wanted to see, you know, arrive safely.
I think the biggest part about it was just like the feeling of hopelessness. Like, there was absolutely nothing we could do. And at one point in time, I just considered like laying down on like a bench or something and just giving up. But we didn't, and we finally made it to Thailand. So
the next subject area we'll cover is culture, and they will cover that for us.
So the majority of our trip, we spent 4 weeks in Monche Nasser, which is a small Christian community in the capital of Cairo. In this community, they survive off of garbage. The things that we throw away, that we do not take for consideration, they take it and they recycle it for survival. A city to many people would look like a disaster, but to the residents of this community, it is full of hope and beauty, with beautiful architect from the mountains being carved of stories of Jesus and the Bible, and of plain graffiti that comes together and makes a large picture that is breathtaking. The culture is built around hospitality and faith that is unbelievable, a faith and joy that can only be explained by God.
So when we were there, there was an image that I saw. There was a child, a young child, happy as can be, playing on a pile of trash. And I was like, it's so like breathtaking because the child was so happy and like giddy and just so playful, and it like broke my heart that this child is so happy in so like in desperate times where they barely have anything, but it also broke my heart that this child is literally playing on a pile of trash. And we take so much things here in the United States for granted that you think, like, trash on the side of the road is bad. This is, like, pile high, like, on top of roofs trash, and it's just, like, it's breathtaking. Like, I can't even find words to explain how amazing that is, to how simple joy people have in other countries.
I think another part that I really enjoyed about the culture was, like, the celebration aspects. Like, they love to dance, and they did it just about, like, every weekend outside of our house. And one night there was, I think, a baby was born, and so they stacked speakers on speakers outside of our house, and we're like, man, this is going to be a long night. And then they just, it was mainly like a group of guys that gathered, but they just danced throughout the night. And then at one point, like a wedding was on their way to the churches and met up there. And then they stopped and started dancing. And then they started shooting off fireworks. But it was awesome just to like be around and just see all that celebration. It's something that I don't think we don't celebrate enough of stuff back here in the U.S. So.
Our next topic, community.
It's back to me. So going into Montchayette, we knew that we were going to be doing some intentional things around like spiritual disciplines. So one of the first and foremost was that we were fasting from excess. So we packed very lightly. I only had 3 outfits. I didn't have my cell phone with me in Cairo. And that was more just out of respect, I think, for the culture, because I think sometimes people go into these garbage villages and just take pictures of these people and leave, and that's kind of disrespectful, I think. And then we were also fasting from food as well. At one point in time, we fasted with a Coptic church that was in our district. And Coptics are like a type of, they derive from like Greek orthodoxy, so it's closely related to that. But at one point in time, we were pretty much like pescatarian. We didn't eat any dairy or any meat for a period of a couple weeks, and we could only have fish. And then there were also times where we fasted on our own, and we would just not eat anything for a certain period of time. So with that, I actually ended up losing a good bit of weight over the trip, especially because it was extremely hot in Egypt. And then with the other things that we did were we did a liturgy in the mornings and in the evenings. We also did Bible study. And on Sundays, we would do retreats of silence where we had long extended periods of time where we would just meditate and not talk. And then part of the communal living aspects within our community were that we had a set schedule for doing chores among one another, and we would also, like once a week, all clean the house or something like that. So.
As was said before, there were 22 of us living in this apartment, so I think it was a little difficult to get on schedule and to figure out, like, okay, there's 22 of us, and we all need to, like, clean up our stuff. And I think by the end of the trip, we all knew the introverted side of ourselves. but it was good to, like, especially practicing fasting from technology. So you kind of had no choice but to, like, talk to the people around you and to sing and worship and to read and journal, which is definitely something, that I still partake in now.
I guess the thing from living communally is, like, you learn each other so well, and you learn, like, their ins and outs. And I think with the Retreat of Silence is something that we really needed, because you got, like, even though you're around people that are silent, it was good to have silence to yourself. And I think something that I miss is, like, coming back to the United States, especially as a nursing major, I'm going, and, like, I don't have time to sit down and, like, immerse myself in the Bible, immerse myself in my own feelings. And it's, like, that's something I really truly miss, because they're, like, they take time for themselves and, like, immerse in, like, to the Bible and the love of God. And that's something, like, I want to try to get back into. But it's here, like, everyone's always going. They don't take time to sit and just be. And that was a thing that was a huge topic, was just being with the people. Like, a lot of people think missionaries to go out and do. But for us, it was just being.
So the next area that we're going to cover, Oksana's going to tell us about the work sites.
So, yeah, as Johanna and Julian mentioned before, there were various work sites that all of us worked in. Yeah, even among the five of us, we each did something very different from each other. But specifically, I worked in the daycare slash nursing home that was run by people of the Catholic faith. And so, yeah, just a little bit about that. I worked in the daycare park with the children. There's probably, well, yeah, all of them were five and under. So for about 3 weeks every day, I worked with children from ages five and literally to just born. Like, there were some babies who would come in who were literally born like 2 or 3 days before. And so, yeah, for most people that'd probably drive them crazy, but I absolutely loved it. And yeah, I think even after a couple of days I would come back to the apartment and people would stop saying, "How are the babies?" People would say, "How are your babies?" Because they really truly were my babies. But yeah, I think for me personally, from my work site, I just began to learn that you don't have to learn or know how to speak another person's language to be there for them and to care for them. And I think that for me, one of the biggest things I learned on this trip is that, like, love is the language that you can speak and be able to connect with anyone that you meet. And so, yeah, just going into that with the babies, I think that the one thing, well, one of the things that the sisters definitely, like, hit on with me was that, like, these babies, even with the people who speak their language, they don't really know what they're saying because they're babies, but just us being there and having our presence there and showing that we care for them and love for them is enough for them.
Yeah, for my work site, I worked in a boys' school where I was there to try and help teach them English, and most of the teachers and the boys did not know any English. So I think I ended up learning more Arabic than I taught them English. But that was a great joy to be able to teach those boys, especially that most of them that didn't even show up to the school half the time because they were stuck at home. Digging through trash bags to recycle trash to get money for their family.
My work site was at a center for the disabled, and I mainly worked with children who had cerebral palsy, and I worked doing physical therapy with them. And the person that I worked with, I love her, I miss her so much, but it just touched my heart, knowing that even though these children had disabilities and couldn't get around and can't do, like, the things that we take for granted every day, there's still people out there that, like, love them and that care for them and that want them to get better and that do whatever they can to help, even, like, get them the little bit of motor skills to maybe brush their teeth or feed themselves. Another thing that, like, hit home was that the parents don't have the equipment to carry their children So majority of the time, the mothers would carry their children across their shoulder to the center. They didn't have wheelchairs, they didn't have strollers. That really hit home to know that a mother's love is so strong that she's willing to carry her child. And these are like anywhere from 15 years younger. So just imagine a mother carrying a child across her shoulder to get her to a center to make her child's life better. So I think that goes with what Oksana says about love.
I don't have much to say other than that our final topic
that you're going to hear about is the overall impact of this experience and what life has been like coming home from Cairo.
So I want to do the overall impact, but it's hard to narrow it down in 3 minutes that I had to talk about. But so basically it's just agape love. It's truly loving each other and just not having to give or do everything by just being with someone, and also by just showing your love, being there, like I said, giving them the time to listen. And that's what we did a lot in Egypt. So with my work site, the person that she became a best friend there, I miss her dearly, but she told me that living in such a poor area, you have to be happy by loving God, loving your family and your peers, otherwise you'd have nothing. So that really showed me by like, that's the true meaning of life, is coming back and loving God, your family and your friends, and not having to worry about other worries. Like, yes, everyone's a college student, you're worried about school and your grades and finals week's coming up, but remember like the important things in life, and to really have self-care and be happy. Another impact was just having, like, when I came home, I got rid of so much stuff in my closet, and it was really, because I wanted to store away everything when I came home. I lived in a backpack, like a traveling backpack, that I had 4 outfits maybe, and it's just like, when I came home, I literally wanted to get rid of everything. But I have to remember, here in the United States, we have 4 seasons, so I need clothes for each season. Not in Egypt, where you can have just like a short sleeve shirt and long pants. So that was something impactful, and just overall theme is agape love and just caring for each other.
I think some of the impact for me was, I think while being there, I think it really helped with my skills around conflict, or just that I think I need to address it more. I'm more like conflict avoidant. So living together, it really helped me see those aspects. And then the other thing was kind of along with what Rachel said, coming home, I haven't been able to really much like buy anything for like myself, like clothes or anything like that. Because I just find it too hard to, and not to like gross anybody out, but these are my only pair of jeans. it's hard because you also go there and you realize you just kind of see outside of this consumerism bubble, and then you see like what is the things that we actually really like functionally need, and what can we live without, I think. So that was a big impact for me.
I would definitely share the impact, but it's really hard not to sit here and cry because I miss it so much. The transition back has been very hard in the sense that we were on a set schedule. There was time to seek God's heart, God's broken heart, his love for a community that to many eyes seemed broken. Coming back, it's just been, like Rachel was saying, like you just get so busy with first world problems of going to school and having bills to pay and being unappreciative of the little things when there's people in Egypt who are very appreciative. Like, they don't have the opportunity to go to school, and we're seeing, we can sit and complain about exams when there are people who want to take exams. There's more that I can talk about, but there's other stuff to do. We have a small clip of one of the videos that we made towards the end of our trek, talking about 22 people living in a four-room apartment for 4 weeks. And one of our trek mates made this video.
We ran into some problems, but in the end, made something beautiful. So one of the things we did was, I have to explain ahead of time, is we did something called an affirmation bag, where we had everyone's name in a little Ziploc, and we drew someone's name every day, and we made a concerted effort to affirm them written or orally throughout the day. So that's part of our song. So I hope you enjoy.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to verse. Shirley again. Who's next to break some glass, and who's next to not replace the TV? Let me be debriefing when the
before, help us, Lord.
Faces.
Thank you all.
Thank you so much. And this launches our hearing from cross-cultural groups. On Wednesday, we'll hear from the group that's been in Eastern Europe. So hope you'll come back for that for chapel, but also Monday at 4:30. This poster around campus is intended to remind us all to gather here for the Christmas Lessons and Carols service. It features readers from theater department and program, campus ministries, and the music department, student song leaders, and Emulate. Right here at 4:30, and we hope for a large gathering of people.